Jesus is in the business of making us like himself in order that he might present us to himself as his bride in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we might be holy and without blemish as we stand before him. And Christian marriage, Paul is telling us, is all about that vision. That vision of holiness before Jesus.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we want to thank you for joining us in our series through Ephesians. Now, Pastor Philip, you talk in this sermon about the picture of Christ's wedding, and our listeners may be saying, what does that have to do with me? I'm not sure this vision, how it applies to me.
Yeah, so what Paul's going to say is that there's a connection between the institution of human marriage that's actually pointing beyond itself, pointing ahead to the ultimate marriage that is between Christ and his bride, the church. That is what all marriage is ultimately pointing to. And so the vision is Christ, who has rescued us as his people and has cleansed us and is walking us down the aisle. And then he turns around and he receives us to himself in holiness, radiance, and splendor. In other words, the ultimate marriage is what all the little small marriages are pointing to. Our marriages are like dress rehearsals for the real event. And so when you see where it's going, it starts to inform the way you think about your own marriage and the things you're going through. And this is true not just for married people, but it's also true for single people as well. Because while not all of us might be married in this life on earth, we are all destined for the greatest marriage of all. We will all fall into the arms of Jesus in glory forever. And so everything, singleness and marriage, are ultimately journeying toward this beautiful picture. And when we see that picture, it starts changing the way we live today.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we discover the end goal of marriage. This is part 3 of the sermon, Sacred Marriage. Our text, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33.
A Christian marriage is one in which both husband and wife every day are seeking to outdo one another in love. You go first. I'll go last. You see, they're imitators of God as beloved children, walking in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So that's the shape of Christian marriage, the calling of Christian marriage. Now the purpose of Christian marriage, Have you noticed how at the heart of this passage, it's all about spiritual transformation? In the very blazing center, it's all about spiritual transformation in a passage about marriage. Isn't that weird? Look at it. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, and having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Just look at all those graces piled up, right? Christ loved the church when we were lost in our transgressions and sin. He came for us, pursued us, and he gave himself up for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his life in exchange for ours, that he might sanctify her, make us holy, chosen in him, his very own forever, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. This is the imagery of a bridal bath. Bathing, you do it every day. In the ancient world, it was kind of like a weekly thing, maybe, and then you had a special bath before your wedding. It was not only to wash off the filth, but to pamper up. We are baptized, washed clean. We are sanctified by the word. so that he might present the church to himself in splendor. This is the imagery of marriage. He might present the church to himself. So he's walking the bride down the aisle. He's presenting her, and then he turns around and receives the bride to himself, her love from beyond the walls of the world, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish, perfect in every way, for we are members of his body, Paul says, nourished and cherished by Christ himself. In this one flesh union we have in Christ, where we are in him and he is in us, he loves us as his very own body, for we are his and he is ours, now and forever and for always. Now, why would Paul place such a glorious emphasis on spiritual transformation right in the middle of a passage about human marriage? Why would he do that? It's because marriage is a vehicle of Christ's transforming work. Marriage is a vehicle of Christ's transforming work. Marriage is a pressure cooker in which Christ is preparing us for himself. You know, sometimes we think marriage is about happiness. And it's less about happiness, and it's more about holiness. Holiness. Jesus is in the business of making us like himself in order that he might present us to himself as his bride in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we might be holy and without blemish as we stand before him. And Christian marriage, Paul is telling us, is all about that vision. That vision of holiness before Jesus. You've got to be able to look at the caterpillar and see the butterfly. This is what your marriage is about. Your spouse is a caterpillar, right? And they will one day be radiant and beautiful and glorious. They will take wing and fly into the arms of Jesus forever. Can't you see it? Can't you see it as it begins, the glorious son or daughter of God that is just beginning to break through, that will one day grow into fullness to look like Jesus? Every so often you catch a glimpse of who they will be. If only the anxiety wouldn't trump them up so much. If only their worries wouldn't make them cower. If only their sinful habits wouldn't dog them down. A glimpse of glory breaking through. A moment of courage. A glimpse of kindness. A little bit of generosity or mercy or wisdom or glory breaking through. Flashes of immortality coming through the cracks. And you see that in your spouse and you say, I want to be a part of the glorious future of what Jesus is doing in your life. I want to be a part of that today and every day and into eternity. I want to be a part of the synergy of God's redeeming, transforming work by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't fix you. I can't make you like Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit in you can actually do the metamorphosis, transforming work. But I can show you the gospel. I can love you when you're unlovely. I can forgive you when you sin against me. I can live with you in humility and gentleness and patience. I can confess my sins and kneel with you before the cross of Christ. And I can help you look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who is calling you to himself. I'm going to do everything I can to see you presented in holiness and splendor to Jesus in glory. Friends, in marriage like that is a window, you see. A window to the light of Christ that's flooding in so your spouse can see it. Your friends can see it. Your kids can see it. Your neighbors can see it. The world can see it. Because the purpose of Christian marriage is growing in holiness to reveal Christ. That's the purpose of Christian marriage, is growing in holiness to reveal Christ. Marriage is less about your happiness and it is more about His holiness. It is about shining the love of Christ to each other and to the world. It's about helping each other get ready to marry Jesus. That's what your marriage is all about. It's about helping each other get ready to marry Jesus. You know, when I was a kid, my siblings and I, we would sometimes play dress up. We had like a big trunk full of all kinds of random stuff, including some of my mom's old bridesmaid dresses, and we would put those on. I'm not telling you who I was in the wedding. But we had everybody there, bridegroom, best man, maid of honor, flower girl, ring bearer, and of course the pastor, you know. God, don't forget the pastor. But we were acting out, imitating ahead of time what we hoped would one day happen for real. Friends, that's what you're doing in marriage. You are acting out, imitating ahead of time what you hope and know will happen one day. When you stand before Jesus as His bride, prepared in splendor to spend eternity with Him without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that you would be holy and without blemish and you would fall forever into His loving arms. Your marriage today is getting ready for the marriage to come. Friends, these fragile and momentary marriages are pointing to the ultimate and everlasting marriage. These fragile and momentary marriages, small m, are pointing to the ultimate and everlasting marriage with a capital M. It's fascinating. In Matthew 22, verse 30, Jesus tells us that at the resurrection, in glory, in the glory of the new creation, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They'll be just like the angels. It's a fascinating passage, which means, listen, your human marriage is a fragile and momentary thing. It will not last into eternity. Your friendship within the marriage will last for eternity. The love you share will last for eternity, but your marriage itself won't last for eternity. Why? Because it's a signpost. It is pointing to the ultimate, true, and greater marriage that is coming. When Jesus takes you in His arms and holds you in His nail-pierced hands, and you will know the love for which you were made from the very beginning. At that moment, you will realize that all the human love you have ever experienced and ever known, all the covenant faithfulness, all the sacrificial, self-giving love, it was all pointing. It was a glimpse pointing you to the glories of the love you were made for. And once you're at your real wedding, you don't have to play dress up anymore. You just put those clothes away because the glory has overwhelmed it all. You see, that it's this logic, this gospel logic, that drives Paul to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that he wishes everybody would be like him, single and unmarried, sold out for Jesus. So why would he say that? Think about it, if these earthly marriages are fragile and momentary pointers to the better marriage to come, why not devote yourself to the ultimate and everlasting marriage that's coming with Christ? Paul says, look, if you're gonna get married, do it for the right reasons. Have a Christian marriage to reveal the covenant love of Jesus for all the world to see. And if you're going to be single, do it for the right reasons. Live a Christian singleness to reveal the all-sufficiency of the love of Jesus for all the world to see. See, friends, marriage isn't for everyone. Singleness isn't for everyone, but standing before Jesus, radiant and splendid, is for every one of God's children. Yes. Amen? You see how radical this is. Traditional culture doesn't have a category for singleness because it makes an idol out of family. And it makes marriage all about social stability. Modern culture doesn't have a category for singleness because it makes idols out of romance and sex. And it makes marriage all about personal fulfillment. But the Bible upholds the value of both singleness and marriage because both can authentically showcase the love of Christ as we grow in holiness by the Spirit until the day that we fall into His everlasting arms. Marriage displays the covenant nature of God's love, and singleness displays the all-sufficiency of Christ's love. We're all playing dress up. Husbands, wives, singles, every single one of us. We're all playing dress up for the real marriage that is yet to come.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you've joined us today as we are looking at how marriage is a means to holiness. Now, Pastor Philip, I'm intrigued by not only for married couples, but singles.
Yeah.
This vision of marriage applies to singles and to married couples.
Yeah, because we're all destined for the ultimate marriage. So that means earthly marriage is just a shadowy imitation, a temporary feature that is ultimately pointing beyond itself to the true and greater marriage that is between Christ and His church and that will endure for eternity. That's why our marriages are temporary. They don't last into eternity. Our friendships will last. The love we have will last, but the construct of marriage itself will go away because we've got the true and ultimate marriage when we are with Jesus. And so that's true for married folks. It's also true for people who are single. Married folks get to demonstrate and experience the covenant love of God and see what that feels like, the faithfulness, the mutuality. They get to experience those sort of things in a way that shines to the world what God's covenant love is like. And single people get to show the all-sufficiency of the love of Christ, that even though they may not have a spouse in this life, they are waiting for the ultimate marriage, the ultimate spouse. They're going to fall into the arms of Jesus in the end. And it might be a long wait, but that wait has beauty to it. I think of one of my favorite movies, The Lord of the Rings. You've got Aragorn, the king. He's promised himself to the elf princess, right? But for most of the movie, they're not together. And in the end, though, they finally actually get to be married. But we admire both of them because of their faithfulness and their constancy while they're apart. So they had to wait a really long time for that marriage to come together. But in the waiting, there's beauty, the loyalty, the faithfulness, the patient endurance, saying no to temptation because of their resolute love, long distance in separation. It's a more beautiful union because of the way they waited. And I think single people can show that to the world. I'm waiting for the ultimate marriage. I'm waiting for Jesus. And I'm going to live with faithfulness now. And that is going to show the world how beautiful Jesus is. And we're actually going to admire single people who have waited with that kind of devotion. Married people have been entangled and have all these other competing devotions, right? That's why Paul says, I wish everybody was like me and was just sold out, devoted, unencumbered in their affections for Jesus. That's actually a better way. I think sometimes in our culture, we don't quite believe that, but Paul says it and it must be true, right?
Oh, yeah. I got to ask you, you give this illustration of the a caterpillar and a butterfly. I don't think our listeners will have any trouble saying, yeah, I got a caterpillar. But
I'm married to a caterpillar.
Yeah. But I'm invited to see what they're going to be in glory. Can you just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. If Christ has His way in the life of my spouse, which He will, the Holy Spirit has sealed my wife, right? She's in Christ. There's glory coming for her. So if I can see that in my spouse, and I can see that's where this is going, that one day my wife will stand radiant and glorious and perfect in every way and be handed over to Christ, right? And that we will share in this glory together forever. If I can catch a line of sight to that beautiful butterfly that's going to be metamorphosized, right? Will be revealed from the little caterpillar, right? She may be a caterpillar now, but there's glory coming. If I can see that glory, glimpses of it, and imagine what that will be, that helps me love her. It helps me love her toward Christ. It helps me be more patient and kind and long-suffering and more forgiving and more, right? Because we're in this together. And so I think this vision of like Christ is going to make us glorious. I think if I realize that's where God's going with Krista, and Krista realizes that's where God's going with Philip, if we know that about each other and we commit, we say, hey, I want to be a part of the process. I want to be an instrument in God's hand, in the refining, in the revelation of the glory of the Son and Daughter of God, of who you will be and who you already are. I want to be a part of the formula. I want to be an instrument in God's hands to help move you toward that glory. I think that gives you all kinds of perspective on she stepped on my toes, or she hogged the bed sheets, or she left the toothpaste out. Or like, you see what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
All those things look really small when you repackage it and look at it with this wider lens of where everything's going. So if we zoom out and we recognize this is what life is about, we are becoming more like Christ so that we might be united to him in glory, so that we might have deep intimacy and unreserved fellowship with him forevermore, then every choice, every minute, every conflict, every little stepping on the toes is actually subsumed in this larger process, and I've got to keep my eye on the prize. And that allows me to engage in a lot more meaningful and productive ways in those little moments of conflict, right, along the way. And so I think that perspective is what Paul is trying to give us, and it informs everything in marriage if we let it.
The day-to-day of it, though, we're distracted. We don't have our eyes on that kind of eternal vision, that what we're doing here is temporary and that it stretches out to eternity. We get distracted by just the day to day of it.
We do. And that's where we've got to remember the scriptures. This is where reading a text like this reminds us who we are, reminds us where everything is going. It gets us out of the noise of the moment and all the little conflicts and frustrations and the emotions of all the back and forth of marriage. And it helps us get out of the weeds a little bit and see a broader trajectory and remind ourselves that God is doing this beautiful sanctifying work, and every part of my life is part of the curriculum as he is making us more like Christ. And we're never alone. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have Christ to lead us and guide us. We've got the scriptures as resource. We've got the body of Christ around us. And so we step forward, we follow the Spirit, and we take this one step at a time.
Next time you'll want to join us as we're going to talk about how the gospel impacts literally every area and aspect of our lives. God's larger goal is always fellowship and worship, but when we come to God in prayer, we often are preoccupied with our needs. What if the purpose of prayer is not simply to get our needs met, but to realize our greatest need, God himself? That's why Pastor Lutzer's new book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers, will transform your prayer life. Meet with God like never before. And now, for a limited time only, we're offering Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. Or you can write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks again for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.